KBMO.fm on the web. Just a heads up, a reminder. In Davos, Switzerland, our economic, our financial future is being divvied up amongst the powerful and the financial elite. So what a perfect time to become a member of KBU and put your money in a place where it'll actually do some good. Or if you'd like to put it another way, where put your money somewhere where it can stir up trouble by the people meeting in Davos. That said, a few headlines before we get into the program. Hopefully we'll have Norman Solomon on the air today to talk about the J Street lobby, originally intended as a sort of a counterbalance to AIPAC, but even as a counterbalance to AIPAC, any lobby of that nature is, of course, going to be in human rights terms, pretty much a conservative organization. Also, let's take a look at this. Oh, the humanities coming out of Syria. Well, you know, the same pictures, the same suffering has been coming out of occupied Palestine for over 50 years. We don't ever hear the world wringing its hands and twisting its hanky and dabbing away the tears over the Palestinians, do we? That said, in Cascadia, in Eugene, a consortium of advocates for the homeless are holding a press conference today. The name of their campsite for the homeless is Whoville. It's a great name, gotta say that. The citizens of Whoville are calling on Eugene Mayor Katie Pearcey to use the power given to her by the Eugene City Code to declare a housing emergency in Eugene and legalize the Whoville site. It has been a sanctuary for those unhoused people for months now. It's the dead of winter, January, and it seems that it should not be such a terribly difficult thing simply to provide people who have no shelter the barest possible shelter available. And it sounds so banal, so thoroughly evil, it's hard to comprehend how far beyond the banality of evil the project really is. When you hear reports on mainstream media, bear in mind a joint venture backed in part by the Chinese government agency has plans to build, wait for it, two 1 billion plants, one in Klatskanai and the other in Kanama, Washington. Plastics and rubber. Every step along the pathway here is an environmental happening at this moment, but certainly indeed waiting in the wings. And labor force or forced labor? Oregon's economic rebound is said to have reached more people in 2013. We're building momentum into 2014. Oregon unemployment rates fell to a new five-year low as of 2013. A standout year for the state's economic recovery, eh? Well, wait a second. Just a moment here. Those jobs. Yeah, maybe we have created more jobs, but oh, look at those jobs. The soul. It's the economic outlook for the state of Oregon may be rosy, but these are service sector jobs. These are the jobs that destroy families, not build families. Imagine a world in which people did the work that they loved and they were adequately compensated. It would look very different. I don't think there would be the shootings. I don't think there would be the child molestations. I don't think there would be the extraordinary numbers of rape cases. It would be a very, very different world. And WikiLeaks has thrown yet another wrench into the negotiations over the sellout to multinationals masquerading as trade deal, otherwise known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You'll notice that we've been leaning rather heavily into this, and that is because critical decision points are coming up in the very, very near future. The general public is still largely, utterly unaware of what this is, and those few who do know what it is have been sold a false bill of goods and think it's wonderful, and they're going to get lots and lots of jobs, and they're going to be able to buy lots and lots of stuff. Well, yesterday, on the eve of an expected to be contentious Senate Finance Committee hearing, and we know what that means. It means Senator Ron Wyden once more stepping into the fray. The administration has a request in for to fast-track authority for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. WikiLeaks released another important draft chapter from the pact, this one on environmental regulations, and we're going to go through that point by point in just a minute. Representatives of Portland Public Schools and the Portland Association of Teachers plan to meet today for the first time since contract talks stalled in January, and the Justice Department has refused to turn over, and this is a quote, certain other, close quotes, documents in an American civil liberties lawsuit meant to shed light on surveillance practices. And finally, and lest we forget, footnote, on the sixth anniversary of Operation Cast Lead, carried out by the Israeli military in 2008, over 500 people gathered in London opposite the Israeli embassy to protest against the continued bombing and blockading of Gaza. So while meetings are grinding on in Switzerland, it bears noting that the pictures of the suffering in Gaza and results of the Israelis. The fact, too, that in Gaza there's no such thing as a bomb shelter. There's no place to run. There's no place to hide. People say you just stand there and wait and see if you're going to be hit. There are no basements. You cannot run into the basement. There literally is nowhere to go. You're trapped. And that's the National Weather Service for the region, for Cascadia today, mostly sunny. Locally windy highs, 45 to 55, but you wouldn't know it because the wind sweeps those warm, cozy temperatures right straight over the horizon. We have northeast winds 5 to 15, gusting up to 20 or 30 miles per hour. Out in the gorge, we could see 45 mile per hour winds. Tonight, mostly clear, and lows around 35. Same situation with the wind, 20 to 30 miles per hour, and indeed gusting up to 45. For tomorrow, bright skies, windy, highs around 50, and that northeast wind again, 5 to 15, and the same situation, winds up to 45 in the gorge. For Friday night, for tomorrow night, partly cloudy in the evening, then pretty much an overcast moving in, patchy evening fog, and lows 30 to 35, again, very, very windy. And the alternative forecast is still a waning gibbous, a fruit moon, and the moon is 21 days old. Advice on perceptions, outlook, I guess you call it a forecast. Yeah. Alternative side of the growing world is we're going to hold that in abeyance for the time being and get on with some of the news of the day, because we do have some WikiLeaks info on the environmental impact of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, as well as we want to talk a little bit about J Street, what it is. Do people really know about this lobby and what it was, the ideals behind it that it's founded on, its mission, and what really actually happens in the end after all those words flying about in 45 mile per hour winds, after those words are finally settled on the page and actions take place, what the results often are for the Palestinian people. If you go to the International Middle East Media Center, daily reports of children injured, children in some cases killed, families' homes wiped from the face of the earth, ancient orchards hundreds of years old that have been in families for generations, bulldozed. The olive trees are very, very slow growing, and these two trees have been there and loved by families. All of that bulldozed. The nomadic population, the Bedouin population, Bedouin Palestinians, their entire life shattered, a whole tradition, a whole culture gone from the surface of the earth. And two, sorry. Once again, throwing a wrench in the works in the negotiations over the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Yesterday, on the eve of the Senate Finance Committee hearing on the administration's request for fast-track authority for the TPP, WikiLeaks released another important draft chapter from the pact, this one on environmental regulations. It's relatively current as of the last day of the Salt Lake City sessions in November, putting it only one negotiating round behind the actual draft. And this, like the intellectual property chapter that WikiLeaks published last year, is one that shows the parties to the deal at loggerheads. WikiLeaks also published an analysis by Dr. Jane Kelsey of New Zealand, given how difficult it is to figure out the text, particularly since one also needs to understand how its provisions relate to other international agreements and appreciate the significance. Kelsey's report provides a pretty good technical overview. I hear that the grim march of the time, our theme is boilerplate. In other words, all the countries signatory to the agreement are going to be held to the same standards. No changes without consensus of all signatories. Starkly different from past international trade between countries. This is a diplomatic legislating behind the border policies, but with trade negotiators, not legislators. Three private sector attorneys unaccountable to any electorate, many of whom rotate between being judges and bringing cases for corporations against government, creates inherent conflicts of interest. Tribunals operating behind closed doors, absolutely basic due process, absolute tribunal discretion to set damages, compound interest, allocate costs, no limit to the amount of money tribunals to pay corporations and investors. I'm not making this up. Compound interest starting date violations, rulings not bound by precedents, no outside appeal, annulment for limited errors, and that's alarming in light of some of the cases already brought before these panels in existing trade agreements like NAFTA. It gets much worse. The tools that we've always had in our hands are still with us, and it's time to raise a loud, hearty voice saying, no, get out in the streets, and it's again, fight this thing right down to the ground. This has been a Cascadia. For Thursday, January 23rd, 2014, Rock Measure on Engineer the show today. Thanks for that, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoint celebrated author Amy Tan speaks out about her battle against Lyme disease. Also, we'll have a doctor who is an expert in Lyme disease here in the Bay Area. And the Biggs Beat is back with a candid review of the new HBO show, Looking. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Today we're continuing our multi-part series on Lyme disease. Lyme disease is a bacterial infection that you can get from a deer tick. Many people believe that you can only get Lyme disease on the East Coast, but our guest today will explain why Lyme disease is a serious concern for people living in the Bay Area and other places as well. Joining us up first is Amy Tan. Amy Tan is the celebrated author of The Joy Luck Club and more recently, The Valley of Amazement. She has been an outspoken advocate for Lyme disease ever since she was diagnosed with with neurological Lyme in 2003. Ms. Tan lives in the Bay Area, where she did a lot of hiking in highly Lyme endemic areas like Mendocino, Sonoma, and Santa Cruz counties. She also has a house in Dutchess County, New York, which also has high rates of Lyme. She asserts that contrary to the belief by the medical community that Lyme disease can always be cured with a simple round of antibiotics, many cases of late-stage Lyme require intensive long-term treatment. Like many Lyme patients who have been battling this issue for a decade, she believes that the medical establishment needs to revise their guidelines. Well, Amy Tan, welcome to Flashpoints, and we really do appreciate you joining us after I know you've just finished a grueling tour on your incredible new book. So thanks for being with us, and welcome to Flashpoints.
Thanks.
Well, let's start here at the beginning. How did you find out about Lyme disease? I understand that you went through multiple misdiagnoses.
I was actually on my 10th doctor, and I was being worked up for MS. And I noticed that one of the tests that had been ordered was called an ELISA, and I went to on the internet to look up what that was, and I read all about Lyme disease, and I saw every one of my symptoms there, and I thought, at last, I'm going to have a test that will show what I have.